What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Okay,
recording. I'm recording now as well.
Ugh. I'm trying. Okay.
Oh no.
Just full mess today. Full.
Home ownership is so perilous. What does Verizon have to do with anyone?
That's just a mobile phone shenanigans.
Oh, you're having mobile phone shenanigans?
Well, essentially, I'm trying to cancel this free Netflix thing before it charges me for not being free.
God.
You know, it's like...
To have to even make a phone call,
it's disgusting.
Just so insane.
I'm like, this isn't working so that I can't cancel this.
They don't want you to be able to cancel it. They're going to make it as hard as possible.
Absolutely. And you know what?
I'm not going
to have Netflix for some time.
That's hard. Well... I'm not watching anything on Netflix.
And then I think if I come back, it's going to be with commercials. I don't care.
Wow. I can't think of, like, one streaming service that I must have besides YouTube.
That's right. I think that's correct. I mean, I'm sort of like, well, Criterion is important.
Yeah. Did you watch Isaac Mizrahi on television?
On T television?
No. Well, he's at home in his apartment in New York discussing television in the way that he does. And he walks into his living room and he finds a remote control to his Manhattan television, which apparently he like literally doesn't watch because he doesn't know how to.
Incredible.
So he turns on this TV and he is utterly shocked that it works. He's like, oh my God. So then he starts going through the various stations, and he keeps being utterly shocked
channels.
That he can turn them on. And he talks his way through certain television shows and how he watches Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on a loop and how, you know. But then he gets to Criterion.
Okay, that's very interesting to me because Gilmore Girls is one of, like, the most watched shows on anywhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mother is one of these people who is mm-hmm. just on.
Well, he's
like,
also
Klonopin,
that.
And it's the same, you know, it's Sheridan, whatever.
Well, Isaac Mizrahi is also Gilmore Girls. Like, both of those shows
are on. Yeah, it's the same producer. So there's something in what she's doing that just numbs the brain fully out.
Yes, they're drugged, those shows.
Drugs.
But Isaac also got to a discussion around the Criterion station, and he was like, well, this is the best station, and, you know...
Saying station, I think that's really fascinating.
I don't know why that's happening, but what are they called? Streaming
radio,
platform?
It's the radio. Channels?
Streaming platform?
Well, channels. This
what
is
was
on
I
TV.
Calling?
He's not watching TV. He's watching...
No.
He's going
Isaac's
through the
not
apps.
Watching TV.
The different apps.
Yes. Isaac is doing, like... what all of our elders are learning to do now, which is to use...
A TV, like a phone.
Right. So I have to sneeze.
Oh my goodness, here we go. Spring is in the air.
Truly, I had a bloody nose this morning.
Ooh, that's not spring, that's winter, and that's, you know, dry.
Yeah, but we've had a couple of really dry days with really straight hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Well, thank you,
this morning,
Isaac, for that.
Always
content.
Entertaining us. Always saying what we need to hear. You know. But we got. Anyways, before we got on the phone today, I woke up this morning and I thought, "What am I doing today?" And I thought, "I'm recording an episode of the podcast," and that felt. I felt happy. Like I have
wow.
to say, Jeremy.
Well,
I look
there is
forward
so
to this.
Much to talk about this week.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
It's truly true. Because I have a list that's crazy.
Okay,
so we're going to see what happens.
I'm glad someone has a list. Because
yeah.
I certainly don't.
Yeah, I do.
I only saw one thing this week.
What did you see?
I went to Judson Church this week to see their Monday night, you know, shebang that they do on...
Monday Night Bananas. That's what I want it to be called.
Yes, Movement Research Mondays. And I went because there were two people on the program who I know their work, and then one person who I don't know their work. But, you know, you never really know
that's
what you're going to get.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So I went, and everyone, kind of a lot of people were there, and Gia sat next to me, and that was nice. And... Gia also talked to me about, you know, death and how in Greek Orthodox stuff, you know, there's this window of 40 days after the death of a person where, like, things feel crazy or, you know, you're in the state of mourning. And then after the 40 days, things change. Or maybe you allow 40 days. I really am not sure. But I liked that number.
Well, the Bible loves that. You know, 40 days in the desert, what have you.
Oh, 40 days and 40 nights. Right.
40-day, like, no-nights day.
A 40-day, no-nights stay in the desert will absolutely get you back on your feet.
Because if your mom likes chicken. Incredible. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So that's nice. People know about a death in the family.
Yeah, well, you did say it on the podcast.
And everyone knows about it.
Well, it seems like everybody at Judson Church that night.
It is strange that people listen and know these things about it's us. Been our nice. Secrets. It's been
nice. Our secrets. This is our. It's not for you, it's for us. And it does feel like that, to be honest, Jeremy. It feels like it's for us.
Yeah, well, it always has been.
Yeah.
Except, you know, sometimes when it wasn't, and that was hard.
So hard. Remember when it was so hard to do it because we were being told to or we had to for something else? Oh, my God.
Yeah, like mainly interview things would happen.
That's basically
it's a tricky space.
Selling product through interview. Oh, boy.
When were we selling product?
No, the product of, like, dances. Someone's show.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Anyways, the show started with Barkha Patel, who's a performer I don't know. They seem to have a background in Indian dance, and they had some other performers with them, one of whom was an absolutely incredible singer. And that was the highlight of the piece, was this amazing singer.
Yeah.
And then Dominika Green, who's a performer I know from this Christopher Williams show we worked on in the fall, made a piece which was utterly delightful.
Ah, delightful.
Utterly delightful. It was a piece using these, like, cue cards, which were these pieces, slips of paper with, like, I don't know, 50 different little cues on them. And Dominika was performing with Malcolm X Betts. And so for the first part of the piece, they would call out things from these papers to one another to build these solos. And then they did a duet where they had the audience call out things from the paper to them to build this duet. And then there was supposed to have been a recording of all of that audio. But it didn't work. So then Dominika and Malcolm and the audience did their best to kind of recall everything that had been said. That's and nice. Then they performed it as these two solos in a duet to I Ride a Fast Car, Tracy Chapman. Sure. And it was
all the rage these days.
Is it?
Yeah, well, Tracy Chapman performed it at the Grammys.
Oh.
Because whatever country music person has covered it.
And I might be making that up, but I think it was that song. When it started, I got weepy. And then I thought that the piece that came from this very quick exercise in prompts was just so wonderful. And so I loved that piece.
Loved. Delightful.
Absolute delight. And Dominika is the most inviting, warmest presence one could ever imagine. Then one of the pageant founders, Jade Manns, showed a work, and I have talked about their work on this podcast previously because I'm a big fan of another piece I saw of theirs, a pageant, and they showed a work definitely kind of in the same vein as the work I'd previously seen, but with kind of more experimental elements in, like, weight sharing. And it was tremendous. I left Judson and I floated on home after having really nice conversations with many of the people involved.
That is it.
Thank you, Judson Memorial Church and Movement Research.
I love that story.
Everybody donate money to Movement Research. They're doing the real work. And
love that.
That was my show of the week.
Incredible.
Thank you.
I'm working on this thing for the Jerome Robbins Dance Division, and I just have to say, I'm like, I have never felt like I know nothing as much as I do in this process, which is really exciting.
Wow.
And I'm just like, wow, I know nothing. And it's, yeah, anyway.
Wow, even after all these years of listening to because, and participating in this podcast.
What we talk about is like such a teeny tiny sliver of like the dance world.
It's
not
true.
Not to say like
true.
The rest of the world. So this like reframing that this is causing is, I'm just like thrilled and
I love
sort of gobsmacked by it.
I mean, we have
like, I
times...
knew it, but I didn't like, it's crazy.
We've at times attempted a decolonization of this podcast, but you know, at the end of the day, we keep returning to these things that are like directly in our sphere.
Yeah. And that's okay. I think that's fine. And I'm hopeful that like this, I'm always hopeful to like get further out. I think that's where like even reading the Graham book, I'm like, I don't need more of this.
I know.
I need
Maybe we made
more
a really
other
big mistake.
Stuff. No.
Okay.
We did it. We're probably done with
it. We didn't.
To be honest.
No, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't
we'll
like.
Return.
I don't like just not finishing things.
Okay. So we'll pick it up someday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, the Judson Church. I mean, I do feel like the Judson Church is kind of the center of our world in that way.
It's
like
of course.
A downtown experimental, and then like other things that are fairly mainstream.
Yeah,
as far as dance is concerned, even though no one has ever heard of any of these things that we're talking about.
Well, you know? Dance is not mainstream. Period.
Yeah, exactly. So, I love that, and I love just picturing you walking from your apartment to Judson. And
yeah,
it's so nice. Spring.
And you know, on the way home, I thought to myself, and this rarely happens. I thought, I don't want to cook when I get home.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. And there's this new burger place, random, on like McDougal and Houston.
Okay.
And I've been looking at it all these months and it's always got like a lot of people
on the
lined
north
up.
Side or the south side?
On the south side.
South
very,
side.
Also like just butt up against kind of 6th Avenue. And I was like, I'm gonna just go in there because it wasn't crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got this thing called their fried onion burger, which is just like a single regular burger on a steamed bun with fried onions. And it was fine. And some French fries that are very like McDonald's fries. And I just sat at a little counter and had a burger. And I thought, who am I? You know, it was very, very different.
That's so nice.
And I know you're not eating meat, and I'm really rarely eating meat.
But I do love a moon burger, which we were eating for years and didn't realize was not meat.
Are you serious?
And so like a fast food. There's a couple locations. I think there are two locations up here.
You thought moon burgers were meat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't even know what a moon burger is, but how amazing that they tricked you.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing with burgers. One kind of realizes that the experience of a burger is really an experience of condiments.
Well, and the bun.
Like, the meat really doesn't need to be meat.
Well, as long as the texture is good.
Yeah. And this is a smash burger style burger.
Mm.
So you get, like, essentially what you want from that, which is, like, a kind of crisp, thin, you know, meat feel.
That's what this was as well.
It's just delivering, and it has fried onions on it, which I think are, like... what are those? Like battered? I don't even know what they are. Like
they're blooming onion style.
Yeah, essentially. I think that's what's happening. You know, you can buy those
onion rings.
Onions in the store. Like, is that what they
are? No.
Are those breaded? Is that why they're so delicious?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'll look in the pantry. I do have some that I bought randomly.
Are you talking about those French fried onions from
is
like
that what
the top
called?
Of Yeah, the top from of like Green Bean Castle.
Yes, I think so. I think
that's I believe that they're just like they're deep fried and dehydrated.
Okay. Yeah, because they're, you know, shelf stable. So I think that's what they're putting on. So it's not like they're frying onions and putting on top. So they're like crunchy and
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Delightful.
Yes.
Yeah, but they do, don't they kind of feel like they're breaded or something? But it's just the dehydratedness.
Right, they just are turned into chips, essentially.
Mmm. Funyuns.
I know.
So spooky. Funyuns. So spooky.
Food is crazy. I ate Cheetos last night.
I have been craving Cheetos and refusing, but good for you.
That's good. I've done it the past couple months. I've, you know, because for many years I've been in a state of like, well, I'm not a person who eats Doritos or Cheetos, but like somehow like potato chips is okay. And I'm like, well, it's different. All the same.
It's not really though.
I mean.
But I'm not, I'm here for like a moment.
But, you know, lately in the night, I'll be leaving a thing and I'll see a CVS and I'll walk in and get myself a small bag of Doritos and be like, this is the best snack. Why can't I just have the best snack? So,
okay,
that's what I've been doing. And last night was Cheetos after line dance. And I thought, this is the best snack.
Are you going to the line dance symposium?
In Seattle?
Yeah.
Well, I can't, know. As it turns out. And I'm going to talk to you about it after we're done recording.
Okay.
Yeah. But I really...
Because
I
big
really...
things are happening, I assume.
We'll talk about it later.
Speaking of green beans, did you see Molly Baz do green beans with a cup and a half of salt in the water?
I saw that. I started it and fell asleep. So I didn't see what made them golden or whatever. What was the thing?
I very vaguely watched it, I think.
Like, was the topping?
I have no memory of what it is.
Well, I saw the cup and a half of salt in the water.
And I thought, no. I just thought, no.
I would be curious, like, what if you put a quarter cup of salt in the water, and then, like, if we did a taste test of those two green beans?
I would also be curious about just seasoning them after they're cooked. Well, I understand that it's different, though, but, like... I'm not here for a cup and a half of salt.
Well, it's a drag if you don't have a special cupboard that's designated for salt, like Pop Molly Baz does. So
not to mention her, just like as if there's like endless resources in the universe and just like keep putting a cup and a half of salt in things. It's crazy to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought, well, that'll get them. You know, that's really going to do the trick.
Well, sure. I just thought, this is a bridge too far.
She is, I think this, like, character of, like, Salt Girl is a bit, it's a bit of a parody. You know, like,
is a bit of a parody of, like, Cali Girl.
Yeah, she's taken the salt thing to a place of, like, I don't quite believe you, and, like, I can't believe the food actually tastes good that salty, but, okay.
I do believe it, but I think that we need to be reasonable.
Let's be reasonable, people.
Like, is this really the best use of a cup and a half of salt? I don't think so, honey.
No, I don't think so, honey.
So that was that. So we had the State of the Union. We had the Oscars.
Okay.
We had a bunch of movies. I watched The Creator. I watched this terrible movie called Damsel. I watched Napoleon. And a while ago, I watched Priscilla.
Oh my god.
Wow. And I rewatched Poor Things and had an interesting experience.
I don't know why you didn't tell me to do anything, because I have not seen even one of those films.
Well, that's none of my business.
But well, it is.
I actually think Priscilla and Napoleon are such an interesting pairing of like movies in which, you know, and I could bring in Beau is Afraid and Poor Things in a way as well. It's sort of like movies that are not here to entertain you. They're these like other things, which I'm like, you know, on one side as a maker of things, I'm like, cool, do your thing. But I'm a little like, let's rein it in here.
But also interesting that the Academy ignores those movies. That's what we learned.
That's what
week.
Happens because
they, even though like they're probably like in many categories, the best of what's happened, they're just entirely ignored. The Academy's like, you didn't make this for us, so we're not going to reward you.
Well, the thing that seems to be the issue with the Academy Awards is that people, they're stuck between, like, really popular movies and really artfully made movies. And sometimes, you know, those things mix.
Mm.
And that's when, you know, that's what they're hoping for. And they got that this year, really.
And that, I suppose so. Yeah,
Barbie sort of interest. And Oppenheimer were, like, good enough, you know, and had these, you know, production design things or whatever that made them worthy to be mentioned, or like the songs or whatever.
I mean, you know, essentially, like, Oppenheimer did exactly what they wanted it to do, which is just, like, get everything. And, I mean, I suppose the one place where I felt optimistic about the Academy Awards is that Poor Things really swept the aesthetics categories, mm-hmm. which I'm like, sure, yeah. That is, A of all, it's obvious, but also, like, the Academy really could have gone another way and just been like, Oppenheimer wins all, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't a sweep.
Like, but it won all the main categories.
Which not was best actress?
Well, it couldn't. Because it didn't have any.
It didn't have actresses in it. Which is maybe its biggest flaw.
Right.
I mean, Emily Blunt was there. And
Emily Blunt wore a dress with floating straps because she was like, I'm not going to win.
That's right. That was the thinking.
I thought, when I saw her sitting there, I thought, oh no, her dress is being pushed up. Nope.
That's that Schiaparelli thing, which I was this isn't right. But even on the runway, I thought, this doesn't work.
I thought, this is crazy. And
like,
it makes
you either need to go, like, a foot higher or just make it fit.
It needs to, like, go over the arc of your ear or...
So it needs to not do that, but yeah.
Right. Exactly. When it's, like, an inch and a half off your shoulder, one just thinks, that dress doesn't fit, you know? Right.
Sorry,
but
Daniel.
Emma Stone won Best Actress, which was actually
a stunning
surprise.
Dress.
She had an absolutely stunning dress.
Wow.
Who designed that dress?
I don't know.
We're going to find out right now. But it broke, so sorry. That happens.
It's, I mean, she's... Who doesn't want to be best friends with her?
Emma
it's
Stone
crazy. I'm just like...
Oscar dress.
Come through. You're so heaven. And I used to hate her so much.
She's never been my favorite, but I mean, I was charmed
I'm
by
so
her.
I'm so charmed by, there's that YouTube game where they have glasses of water that they like agree to disagree or whatever. And she does it with Mark Ruffalo and it's so adorable. You're just like,
okay,
we have to be friends with these people.
That's all. I know, and she's the one who did the thing to Bradley Cooper where she's like, why do you keep closing your eyes?
Yes. I think when she sort of, like, insisted on, like, being a human. That's what I feel like at some point she was like, I need to just, like, be a human being. And that's what she, I feel like that's the insistence.
There. Right.
And you're like, yes, be a person. Thank you. This is great.
Yeah. Louis Vuitton is the designer of the dress. Is Nicolas Ghesquiere the design director at Louis Vuitton?
I have no idea.
No, that was 100 million years ago. And then it was Marc Jacobs, then Nicolas Ghesquiere. I don't know who is the design director at Louis Vuitton. But anyways, the dress was absolutely stunning. It was that incredible
so
shade
beautiful.
Of green.
Ugh.
And, her zipper popped, which allowed her to, like, make her whole speech about it, which was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to say at the end of her second Academy Award for Best Actress as she walked away, don't look at my dress. genius.
Yeah.
And
who else looked amazing? Zendaya looked amazing. That was incredible.
I talked to Harriet a lot about this because
okay.
I was like, A of all, when Zendaya walked out, I was like, eating disorders reign in Hollywood because I was like,
wow.
how can she be?
Also, the star of the red carpet was definitely Ozempic.
Absolutely,
it's crazy
because
what's
Carrie
happened.
Lee Mulligan, is that her name?
Carrie Mulligan?
Carrie Lee. Carrie Mulligan. I mean, also, talk about...
I don't know that dress. Yeah. I don't know
her
that
Balenciaga
these, like...
dress was absolutely stunning, but I'm like, your shoulder bones are absolutely visible. I don't... It's very scary. And then yeah. Ariana Grande, I'm like, what's going on, everybody? But for me, I have to say the winner overall is Sandra Hüller, who I was like, you look absolutely perfect.
Absolutely.
Head to toe.
I did wonder
hair,
about sitting
makeup,
next to her,
dress,
though.
Oh, with the things. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
My favorite moment of the night was the Billie Eilish song. I just thought, like, so I didn't watch these live, so I've just seen YouTube clips. And I thought the way that that number was directed was so perfect. Like, starting behind the curtain, with the curtain going up, and then framing them, and then they turn on this thing, and, like, the whole thing was so... beautiful.
I have to revisit that. I mean, I love the two of them. I'm in love with her brother.
Yeah, it's a good vibes.
They are really good vibes to me, and also like vibes backed up with talent. So I'm like,
absolutely.
Cool.
So I will say I have been listening to Ariana Grande's new album, and I just can't think, like, this is what pop music is. I get
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I just think we have Billie Eilish and we have Beyonce and we have Lana, and mm-hmm. everyone really has to. I think we just need to ask everyone to step it up.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Basically,
Ariana Grande
pop
is
music.
Basic.
I get it, but like, and like, I think she's really fun, and
yeah.
I like the music, but I'm just like. I think we have to ask for more than this because we're being served it by these other people.
You should write her a letter.
Yeah, I'll be like, this is really nice, but let's dig a little deeper.
To say listening to Ariana Grande's album is a thing I've never uttered, I've never thought, I'll never do. So, I mean, I'm astonished even just from that. You know, I'm like, wow.
Well, I think she's talented. She's not, like, faking it in terms of singing.
No.
Here's the thing. I have nothing nice to say about Taylor Swift. So, anyway, just throwing that in there in the mix of things. I mean, thank
I'm
you
glad
for
she,
supporting
I'm glad
Biden.
She encourages young people to vote.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's it. But I want to talk more about people who looked great at the Oscars.
Okay. I can't think of anyone else.
I think Simu Liu looked great. I think that Ryan Gosling in his I Am Ken get up was great. And I think he
yeah.
performed so Mickey Mouse Club great.
Absolutely.
And I think his face work is haunting. So
okay.
that, I mean, that is... a very interesting project there, the fillers, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see where
tricky.
That goes. It is a tricky balance.
I thought
to strike
that
because...
with John Kerry as well. I saw an interview.
Who's
thought...
John Kerry? Oh, the politician?
Yeah. I was like, oof, what? This is, we're trying to age gracefully and we're ending
like,
up.
Why are politicians getting their faces
face.
Done? It's
Verizon
crazy.
Support's calling me. I guess I'll just get this some other time.
Oh, you can take it.
No.
It's oh, okay.
Too annoying.
But yeah, Ryan Gosling looks like 13-year-old Ryan Gosling, but like in a photograph, not even like in dimension. Like as soon as his face sort of starts to turn
right
to left, you're like, something's weird. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he's incredibly handsome and incredibly talented. And I'm glad he didn't win an Oscar, but like it would have been more interesting than Robert Downey Jr. winning an Oscar, which fine. Now
Talk about
talk
I
about
mean,
spooky.
So I definitely think the best acting categories, you know, the not supporting, but just those top two were really, I was like, this is what Hollywood power is. that's like when Emma won, I was like, this is like a Hollywood power moment.
Mm.
More than performance. I mean, I think it's a good performance and a hard role, try swimming across the ocean.
No. That's what I was gonna say. It is then hard to watch Annette Bening sitting there being like, good job, doll. And you're like, no, Annette, you've never won an Oscar, and that is truly bananas.
Yeah.
Like, Emma has two. She's a young person. Annette Bening gave a tremendous performance this year. I mean, look, all these people gave great performances. Absolutely. Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman weren't even nominated. It's like Emma Stone won for being like, I poop now, you know, but like, convincingly, I suppose.
So I rewatched Poor Things and I ended up skipping through the beginning.
You have to.
It's interesting to rewatch because structurally, because it starts with this in-color image of the jumping off the bridge. And then it just cuts to black and white with, like, the child girl.
Mm.
And, like, so narratively, it's a very, you're in just, like, a kind of murky, unclear, boring opening.
When does it turn to color?
It turns to color when she leaves to go to Lisbon.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So that's kind of where I jumped to. And even that is, like, pretty slow going. I feel like the movie starts when she gets to Paris. Even though, like, I think the entrance of Mark Ruffalo as like, that acting really helps the movie.
And it, so it's it sort per- of strange. It perks that, it up, for sure. Yeah.
But I think the kind of real narrative kind of flow doesn't really begin until Paris. And that then from there on, said. I was like, this is really great. The, like, okay. whorehouse into...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe Hollywood's like, Emma gave such a brave performance because her bush was out half the movie. But
that's
what
Jack said. She's naked a lot in the movie.
She really is. But I don't. I mean, that's not that interesting to me. No.
Yeah. Anyone can do that.
Annette Bening was basically naked the whole movie in a bathing suit. You know.
Yeah. Strange, but you know, I was like, her performance in The Favourite, it's incredible.
And she's good.
Doing weird things and
she looks amazing. She wore that dress. She's funny.
Yeah.
You know, she gets it.
I don't think Annette Bening is a good time.
No.
I think she's a very serious actress.
She is not a good time, you can tell.
Yeah. I've seen
She will like make you feel bad about yourself instantly. One can tell.
Yeah. That's
the point. But you know who else looked great? Jodie Foster.
I mean,
she's the cutest.
She's incredible. True Detective. Signs of the Lambs.
She was wearing a great dress. Greta Lee looked absolutely sensational.
Absolutely. She's so stunning.
She should have been nominated for Best Actress. I've already said that. But.
Yeah.
Okay. Slay all day.
We did pretty good, I think, in terms of our predictions.
What did we really fuck up bad?
I think we didn't get Best Actress, and I don't remember anything else. But
no, because we probably said Lily Gladstone would get it just because she's been getting it.
Right. And we thought that Annette Bening should get it, too.
That we wanted Annette. I think we were definitely right about supporting in both categories. Robert Downey Jr. looks absolutely bizarre with his dyed hair. But I like that his speech was about being a drug addict, and I thought... Yeah, you're a mess. He was a mess.
Yeah, I think he would be a good friend to have, too, I will say.
He's probably pretty fun.
At this, but he has, like, donkeys and stuff. He has, like, a crazy farm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's really fun.
Because his wife is a veterinarian?
I have no idea.
I think she is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it the case?
Very glamorous veterinarian. Goodness gracious.
So fun.
And... I think we didn't get the best director category because I don't know.
Well,
maybe we did.
I don't even remember talking about it.
I mean, Oppenheimer got all those biggins. Yeah.
But we got the Zone of Interest, gets two wins, which we called for.
It got sound and best foreign language film.
Yeah.
Which is correct.
Got Jonathan Glazer up there, which is excellent.
Jonathan Glazer actually said something, which, mm-hmm. thank God. I've been reading in various, like, Jewish publications how outraged they are.
Of course.
That Jonathan Glazer.
Well, guess what's not doing well on its image? Israel.
It's not great.
So, maybe, not great. Maybe consider a different route here.
When the entire UN is like, no, girl.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, it's not great. Who else got up there? And oh my God, how about Al Pacino?
So I didn't, you know, I didn't watch the show. So like I did read about this. He issued an apology, you know,
did
I
he?
See Oppenheimer. Yeah. Well, because there was, you know, there was they did change it so that the, I guess the Academy had decided to not list the
nominees
again because they had,
well,
because
we already been through that. Yeah.
So, you know, that was part of like the weirdness, I guess. But I didn't see it. I didn't look it up. I don't care.
He just comes out. He gives this kind of like, I'm not doing that kind of thing where you're like, what do you mean you're not going to read the cue cards? Like, it's unclear what's going on.
I see.
And then he just opens the envelope and he goes, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And you're like, is that a question?
Right.
Like, what's going on? And it's just like, you have to stop sending out like the oldest people in Hollywood to give, because it makes for huge errors.
Also, what are we, why don't they send out somebody from last year's winner?
Absolutely. They're just like,
that's what
send
they
out.
Do.
I find it very odd. The whole like, didn't they learn their lesson from the Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway year?
Also, we don't want to see him. Do we?
Nobody wants to see Warren Beatty anymore.
Or Al Pacino.
I mean, I kind of want to see Al Pacino. I enjoy
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah, he walked out all small and hunched over, and he was like,
at
my
least give
eyes.
Him an escort.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. What else did I like? What else was okay?
How did you feel about the panel of former...
Oh,
winners.
So embarrassing. So embarrassing.
It's really hard to do.
So embarrassing. But at least it was fun to get all those people out there at once and think like, whoa, this is like quite a collection.
Yeah, very strange.
Very embarrassing. And the way they were assigned to people, like,
right.
And it just felt like some of the nominees were like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know?
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
And like the talking to camera with a split screen. That was very awkward.
It was so weird.
But it was nice. It did infuse like an emotional aspect to the show that I think was good.
Yeah, the history of winners or something.
Yeah, and and like it felt like more acknowledgement of the work that they had done.
Yeah.
Than like showing a clip.
Get them back out here.
Yeah.
Anyways,
okay,
that's the Oscar.
State of the Union.
Oscar.
Joe comes out shooting full steam ahead. Let's do this. I didn't watch it either because I can't bear to watch these things.
Oh, no, no, no.
But I was very happy to see in the morning the, you know, New York Times rave review of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, everything was like, you know, energetic, just... really what it needed to be. And then all the crazies, of course, and you know, in the follow-up, which was really the show of the year. Scarlett Johansson. Did you see this SNL?
No.
Remix?
No.
Of the crazy Republican person?
Oh, did she do an imitation of that crazy
yes.
lady?
Excellent.
Wow.
Excellent.
That was really insane.
Absolutely insane.
It's interesting. They are leaning into it. It is, that
crazy.
Is what it's what their base wants.
Absolute lunacy.
Complete,
yeah.
Separate, like a complete schism from reality and contemporary culture. They really want to go Handmaid's Tale. That
yeah.
is like the,
it's true.
That's the desire. So interesting.
Yeah, we're going to find out where we're at.
I read the article about this report about Biden's memory.
Uh-huh.
And I read the New York Times article that it was interesting. I did make me like, you know, I do believe that a lot of this was sort of fractured from context, and that's why it was made to seem like they basically reported like his memory is bad, but I'm like, you know, it's not that his memory is bad, it's that he's not, when he's flustered or angry, he just like says so many things and like the grammar gets really bad. It's like he's not taking his time to be articulate.
Right, right.
And then they're allowed to say like, oh, his memory is bad, which is clearly not what's going on. It's just that like he fumbles in a way that's like, well, that also points to a certain kind of like cognitive issue, but
I feel like it's more that he's just like open and kind of a mess in that way. It's always been that. That's like not a new thing.
Right.
Joe Biden is like always been saying things that he should not be saying. But that's like part of like his
fire.
His openness to like having a conversation with people rather than like a dictator like kind of prepared statement.
Yeah.
Insanity.
He gets fired up.
Yeah.
And then he gets a little bit all over the place.
It's emotional.
But in the moments where he's rational in that interview, it's like, he's fine, everybody. He's okay.
Also, like, Joe Biden also went through the pandemic in which everyone's sense of time got fully scrambled. So
and
I don't know who thinks they can remember what year happened after what year.
Right.
I absolutely cannot. I'm like, 2004 is the same as 2014.
But also, like, in all these parts of the thing where he says the wrong year, he's just kind of parroting back the most recent year he heard from the person interviewing him. So it's just like, he's not... Yeah. Anyways, it did seem clear to me what was going on, but whatever. They're all just going to fight about it, and some people... He's still going to run for president. Look, I mean...
Yeah, I absolutely don't think that scenario is going to make any difference. No one... You know, it's like we've all... Like, maybe if that had come out, like, 6 months from now, it would be, you know, like the Hillary Clinton thing.
Yeah. And look, they could bring Pete Buttigieg out there who would fucking slay all day verbally. He would cut everyone down instantaneously with like the most concise language and he would lose.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not gonna.
So. I think he would have a chance.
Well, not now, but at some point. You think now?
Yeah, just because I think there are a lot of Republicans who would like to vote for someone else. And then it's just a matter of, like, how did they get there?
Right.
So.
I mean, it is really fun to watch Pete be interviewed on Fox News and stuff. He is debate class winner USA.
Yeah, isn't it interesting to think the only reason he's, like, not president is because he's gay?
This is true. Right. Like, he looks the part, he sounds the part.
Yeah, he's from the right part of the country.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. It's so true.
So we'll see.
Are people from New York ever the president, or you literally have to be from Arkansas?
I think sometimes they are. I think... Because weren't, like, I don't want to say things, because I don't
know. I think this is, like, olden time. I think John F. Kennedy is probably, he's
But aren't the Roosevelts,
New England.
Like...
Well, this is in the old times, it just, like, you had to be positioned with family money, and then you're the president.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's just so insane. The whole thing's crazy.
Well,
what
I
else
finished
are we talking
Flowers
about?
In the Attic.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, I haven't read a book where I was the last like 100 pages, I was just like my shoulders hurt reading this book.
Cuz you were stressed out.
I was just like, what's going to happen?
Oh wow. A thriller even.
A thriller. It's crazy. It's crazy. And then Jack and I watched the first movie that was made of it. That's terrible, mainly because the children are, like, played by 30-year-old actors.
Yeah, 30-year-olds like, in terrible wigs.
Doesn't make sense.
Terrible wigs.
Absolutely.
My God. That wig they put her in after the hair cutting mm-hmm. is really, like, criminal.
Yeah. It's also very different, you know, like that, the way the movie ends with, like, them confronting the mother at her wedding in the house.
And she
sort of accidentally is pushing her off the balcony and she dies.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What happens in the book?
Basically nothing.
Oh, no.
They get out of the house.
They don't get revenge.
They decide to not revenge.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, but not how I would like things to end.
No, they needed it to end like the Hallmark movie version.
Well, because the girl's constantly promising to get revenge. And then she decides, like, let's just live a nice life instead. And I'm like,
well, it is hard to walk away from a situation like that after you've, like, murdered your mother, even though she did a horrible thing to you. But then it's maybe better to just walk away and
they
escaped.
They don't murder the mother.
I know, but they, in the movie.
Yeah, but in the movie, they also just kind of leave.
Yeah, well, you gotta leave.
I'm like, but the grandmother should go to prison and you should get all the money. Turn this place into an orphanage.
Well, that's what you did, Jeremy. You just left. You know what I mean?
Well, my parents don't have any money.
That's so true. You couldn't, like, get anything from
there's
them.
Nothing there.
There's nothing.
Which is, you know, which I've learned chicken. Is, like, a kind of blessing. As I
well, you could get some
chicken.
I know you want chickens. You want chickens in the backyard, and you could get some.
That's right. I don't think I'm going to this year. I'm trying to. We had to buy a car. We're getting a Prius.
Whoa.
It's been a whole thing.
The other car's over?
Well, it's a lease, and we don't like this car. It sounds crazy inside, and they can't fix it, so.
Oh, that's right. The car that's trying to drive you insane.
That's right. So we were like,
gorgeous.
It mainly was like, we can't think about this anymore. This has to be over.
Yeah.
That's how we bought a car.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful.
It's probably not good, but that's the way it is.
I saw Problemista.
What's that?
It's this Julio Torres movie.
Oh, yes, with
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda.
That's right. It was cute. Tilda gives a really, really broad, crazy performance, which is so fun. And she can really, you know, she can really handle that. And it was very like the women in New York who you just like dread to interact with.
Hmm.
And they exist, you know. You're
is this
like
somebody getting a cupcake and like needing it to be like a certain way? What kind of woman is this? What kind of New York woman is this?
This is a New York woman who lives in a state of paranoia and like rudeness, where like everything is everyone else's problem.
Right.
And
this is, I also think that this is gendered because it is in the movie, but I don't think this is a gender specific dynamic.
Oh no. Because also like, you know, my father.
Yeah.
There are, yeah. But yeah. She plays it really good. We're like, yep.
Oh,
that's
fun.
The thing.
It's and fun she, when you're not, you know, in reality.
Yeah, and she does this, you know, she does the thing of, like, they bring in all of these very frustrating, like, old people who can't deal with technology. Like, those things are very central to the plot.
Okay.
Of her insisting that, like, her assistant handle various tasks in the ways that she wants them done because
okay,
she doesn't
so
under
Julio is the assistant
right and okay. and he's relying on her to like get him visa status because he's going to be deported and so but Tilda's like you have to use this like antiquated like filing system in the old computer and he's like well you don't have to do that and she's like, no, you have to do it this way. And then I need to be able to access it on my iPad because it's in the cloud. And he's like, So he's just like dealing with this insane situation of a person who like doesn't trust.
Right.
You know, the latest, most efficient technologies. And it's just really crazy. And her like, it's so perfect. Her like cell phone flashlight's always on, which I'm like, same. Because she doesn't know how to turn it off.
That's really good.
Okay. But it's a bit tedious.
Sounds normal. I was hoping for something like wild.
No, but it's not wild. There's an incredible joke at the end of the movie because she has some nephew or someone who comes in to kind of like help, but ends up being this sort of evil gay character. And
Where's Lucas Hedges?
Where is Lucas? I saw him in a trailer for something.
He's on Broadway.
But he, anyways, there's this amazing joke at the end because Isabella Rossellini does the voiceover for the movie. She's the narrator.
So wackadoodle.
And they're talking about like, you know, how did his storyline resolve? Like, where did he go, this evil gay character? And she was like, I'm going to make up his name. It's Casey. Okay. She's like, well, Casey became out of the picture because he won a Guggenheim, which are all being given out to like, he won a Guggenheim for being cute in the art world or something. And I was like, I literally clapped at the line because I was
absolutely
like, correct.
That is insane.
So that was a real good joke. I really like that one.
Yeah, it cuts deep.
So that was probably...
You watched this streaming somewhere?
Not yet. But maybe.
Oh, wait. No, you went to a theater.
I saw it at Angelica.
Ugh. Sorry.
That's okay. It wasn't... It didn't need to sound great.
Right.
I'm trying to see Dune 2 in IMAX, but I'm too late to the game because weeks in advance, it's just... There's
wow.
No seats.
People just keep seeing this movie. I haven't seen it. I'm waiting for you. I thought you were seeing it on Friday. I thought there was a
I thought
plan.
I was too, but I can't get a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, unless I want to sit in, like, the front row of IMAX. And I'm like,
no. Thank you.
I'm not kidding.
I mean, also, with your schedule, there must be... That's crazy.
I mean, I could go at 3 in the afternoon, and even then, front row of IMAX.
That's insane. Wow.
It's wild. There's also 11:15 a.m. showings. Sold out. It's really weird.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like it. Me too. At some point.
I guess I'll just go see it, and... You'll see it whenever, you know, in a couple of years when seats are available.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Speaking of sold out, Illinois, congratulations. That's great. People loving that show at the Armory.
They really are. I've been getting very nice messages from people who've quite enjoyed it. I send them on to Justin, and he appreciates that. And it's nice. It's nice to be involved in a thing that is having, like, a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done it. They've made a change in the show where Shara, who's the singer who was actually involved in the original album, she's taken on an additional song, which is the Sears Tower song, and it is a really haunting...
Wait, was that not when you saw it in rehearsals or whatever?
I did. It's the same.
Okay.
I probably talked about it, but it's worth talking about again.
Okay.
Because it's just so on crayob. It's just like the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh. And we went to a student matinee the other day to watch the swings go into various roles, and that was really fun.
I love swings on stage.
Yeah, it's exciting because stuff goes wrong and we got to see our baby Zach do a big role, and that was really exciting.
Which role is it?
That day he did the Robbie Fairchild Superman.
Yeah,
part.
Superman. That's fun.
It was so fun. I feel I was really like, it's my baby.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so good.
And so that's happening. That's great. Up and rolling. We're also in planning for other things that we're working on, and we'll be in studio today working on something fun for James Whiteside. And
yes,
what else are we doing?
I'll run through these movies. So I watched The Creator, which we talked about.
Oh, yeah,
not
I
knowing
wanna
what
know.
That movie was.
I want to know.
I think it's, there are a lot of like chic style things in this movie, including the titles that like I was so shocked by, just the way that they're used, I found really like jarring in a way that I enjoyed. Mm. The plot is kind of bad, but you know, it's an AI. I liked, my favorite part of this movie is that America's the villain.
Uh-huh.
And Allison Janney is like a you know, a special
evil,
ops
evil
person.
President.
And she's great. No, she's like in the field, you know. Huh? She does an excellent job. Everyone's, the acting is really good. Gemma Chan looks incredible. And this Denzel Washington son person is incredible as the lead. Yeah. And then there's this, you know, little girl, boy, I don't know. It's an AI young person whose gender is called out in the movie, but is a nice kind of non-gendered, oh, non-binary nice. Looking
child. Are they're an actual actor? Or they're,
yes.
They're gender. Oh, okay.
With that, you know.
The Denzel Washington son, interesting career trajectory because, you know.
Oh, right. He was sports or something.
Oh, I don't know. But he was, like, in a couple things that, like, Black Klansman movie, right?
Oh.
And then he was the star of Tenet, that Christopher Nolan movie
wow.
that did not do well.
No, never saw
And I
that.
Think that kind of disappeared him in a way.
Mm. Well, this movie's okay and did okay, it seems. All
yeah,
those people
okay, well,
that are going to see Dune 2 saw this movie, I guess.
Now, where did you watch it?
Streamed it somewhere. I don't remember.
All right. Well, I'm going to look for it because I like a movie like that.
Yeah, it was a fun thing to watch. I thought the production design was really good and like the lots of CGI that felt good.
I liked when the Godzilla movie won for special effects or whatever, and Arnold Schwarzenegger said, and the winner is Godzilla.
That's good. Is that might have been the category this was nominated for in as well.
That's true. I think Creator was nominated in two categories,
oh, wow.
actually, but I can't remember the other one. But it was all technical stuff. Sound design or editing or something.
Uh-huh,
sure. But yeah, Godzilla.
Godzilla. Incredible.
And then this whole group of Japanese people came up on stage and it was chaos. It was
yes,
very funny.
Good. Napoleon, my review of Napoleon is, I thought it was very informative.
Oh,
I was like, you know what's crazy? Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's happening.
It's hard to stop.
Yeah.
Like, once you get, like, revolutions going, like, then there's just, like, another revolution behind that. Like, there's no...
right.
Shit just is crazy. No one's
because
in charge.
Because opposition
and it's like,
becomes revolution.
That's right. So that was... Yeah. That feeling of that movie of, like, French people are crazy.
Oh, no.
Was interesting, and you know, it's very like this is for like war people.
Yeah.
There's like a romance story through it that's
yeah
not really strong.
Did they make Joaquin Phoenix look short somehow?
They really didn't.
They didn't bother with that.
I kept thinking like they're not doing the short thing.
No. There was some guy, a French guy, who won an Oscar this year for something, can't remember what, but he, I was like, that's Napoleon. I mean,
that's
he,
a short
I was like,
person.
I was like, that's uncanny. He's really him.
Joaquin gives such a, like, sleepy performance in this movie that, like, mm-hmm. it's just dull.
I imagine it's hard to give performances in these movies where you're just kind of, like, green screen, full costumes, like, so much stuff going on.
I don't think that's what this movie was.
Oh,
certainly
okay.
There were like action sequences, but you know, there's a lot of like in rooms talking to people scenes.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room to like,
you know, what'd be
make
really
something
hard
happen.
To like muster the energy to like be in a battle scene, to like be like,
totally.
You know, to like, to wake up in the morning in your hotel bed or whatever and be like, oh my God, I have to go get into hair and makeup to like scream.
I have to go fight the Russians.
I have to go pretend to be, like, so enraged and activated. That
yeah.
has to be so exhausting.
So exhausting.
Yeah.
But also fun, no?
Well, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're into that
you know,
kind of thing.
I'd have
right.
to start
that's
taking,
right.
like, testosterone pills or something.
Yeah, cocaine.
Yeah.
And Priscilla was similarly, like, super sleepy. You know, it's like... yeah, a film without kind of content. I mean, it's about Priscilla and...
Yeah.
But it's similar to Poor Things in that, like, this person isn't really... it's too young to care about, in a way. Like, there's just, like, there's too little going on in her. Mm. Like, you kind of have the feeling that, like, the movie should have started where it ended, which is, like...
when she's older.
Their divorce.
Right, that's more interesting.
And you're like, well, now she can become a person. Because right now she's just, like, in a prison with this person, which... it's not a story that doesn't need to be told.
Right.
But I just thought, like, doing it in this very fashion, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to look at the carpet. And it's, I guess this is a movie about costumes and dresses.
This is Sofia Coppola, right?
Nails and, yeah. Nails. So it's why, like, The Beguiled worked so well for me, because, like, she could do all that stuff. Like fashion stuff, and there was a significant plot that everything could work on.
Kirsten Dunst.
And then Millie Bobby Brown.
As the damsel?
In The Damsel, which is like...
it looks incredibly stupid.
It is so absurd. So kind of worth watching in a way. We skip through a little bit of it, but
I mean, I'm interested in the part where she gets out and you know, enacts revenge. I'm like, yeah, I want to see the revenge.
Yeah, yeah, there's revenge, but most of the movie is, I mean, her acting is so bad, and she has like a full face of makeup the whole time.
All the time, yeah.
Which I guess I think is maybe the. Our Rosetta Stone to the movie. Like, I think it really is a live-action animated Disney movie.
Right. But with, like, gore, it's like, I imagine it's quite graphic.
Yeah. And very murdery. And
like, I, you know, I'm not a Stranger Things person. I've seen some episodes, but I did watch this Let's Watch... Millie Bobby Brown get ready for the damsel premiere thing on YouTube, and she's in a hotel room at the Plaza, and her fiance is Jon Bon Jovi's son, who's very handsome. And I'm like, fiance, like, how? She was 12. It felt like 3 years ago.
Well, so, I think the character was 12, so she was probably 20, you know?
No, but like, how old is Millie Bobby? She's 20 now?
I don't know.
But anyways, she's Hollywood engaged, obviously, to
Hollywood
some...
engaged.
She's Hollywood engaged, and she, of course, like, has her best friend showing up to the room so that they can, like, you know, she has her comfort blanket.
You're right, she's 20 right now. She was born in 2004, which is the same as 2014.
And I'm thinking, engaged? I'm like, is it literally, like, 1950? Like, you're engaged.
Well...
what?
You know what it is? It's Hollywood.
It's Hollywood. It's
like,
so
you gotta,
Hollywood.
You gotta be telling a story.
Well, she's gotta begin her first marriage now so she can get into her second one in 4 or 5 years.
That's right.
But
I mean, maybe they're in love. Who knows? Maybe it'll last forever. We don't need to be
Jeremy,
so...
I'm certain they're in love. Do you remember being 20?
Yeah.
It's big feelings.
Big. I mean, Illinois.
Huge feelings.
Big feelings.
Yeah, so they're having their big feelings, and they're both beautiful
right.
and young.
That's a good point, because, like, the feelings are real.
Yeah.
And this is also in, you know, Priscilla. It's like, they did, like, quote-unquote love each other, but,
was
like,
he like,
they
was
didn't
he
exist
30
as
and
people.
She was 16 or something?
Yeah, she's, like, maybe younger than that. It's...
wow.
It's... like
not
illegal.
It's not. Well, it's definitely illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for sure illegal.
Yeah. But how, well, look, Elvis as a young man was very handsome, but it's a very different kind of handsome than Jacob Elordi, I would say.
Well, it's interesting. There's like no Elvis music. It's a very, it's like a movie to please no one. It's an interesting choice. Like, I mean... I don't know. I was really like, yeah, this is, I guess.
This is some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but I kind of felt like he was Elvis-y. I don't know what that...
This is Rugnail's makeup. But look, I'm never upset to look at Jacob Elordi on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's little Timmy Chalamet. And did you watch Wonka? We haven't talked about this.
No, I haven't watched it. But I see it's not available.
It is.
Did you watch it?
It came out when it was supposed to come out.
I don't know which was on
Friday.
How are you getting through all of this?
I don't know.
Wow.
Nights and weekends, I guess.
I watched it
Friday afternoon.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I want to watch this movie.
Harriet watched it, so I'm going to watch it, and then we can all talk about it.
It's nice to see little Timmy Chalamet.
Isn't it always a pleasure? Yeah.
Dune 2.
I don't like hearing stories about Timmy off camera, but it's okay.
I don't hear stories of him, I
guess. I only hear stories through like Hollywood folk, like the people who Aunt Jane knows who work on movies, etc. But
I assume it's like a, you know, the same old story.
Just tale as old as time. Let me tell you what. When you get that famous, it's hard to
control yourself.
Keep your boots strapped to the ground, you know?
Well.
Anyways.
We're looking forward to Lucas Hedges' return to the screen.
He is in a movie. I saw him in a trailer in a courtroom, and it looked very, like, adult.
Anatomy of a Fall.
He was the lawyer in Anatomy of a Fall. Sandra Hüller, let me say it again, she slayed the red carpet, everybody. Okay, also Schiaparelli,
she's so European, I can't care about her at all.
Daniel Roseberry is having such a moment.
She continues to slay. We also loved that YSL show.
Beautiful show.
So check that out. Wow.
Check it out.
Gorgeous and things.
Clothes that can be worn in a way. You know, you have to put something under it.
Absolutely. You're going to have to weigh one pound. I mean, I think those things, I just think, no, no. I think those I things think those, would look beautiful on a
absolutely. A, I mean, they can look good on a lot of bodies.
Much wider range of bodies than we're in this crazy show.
They're hopefully going to produce them in a range of sizes, and you're going to have to underdress it if you don't want to be completely shocking.
Yeah, there's a lot of sheer.
Everything is sheer. If you want
to go naked, please, everyone.
Look, Florence Pugh is showing nip at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, so you can too, you know?
Live free or die, as they say in somewhere. Vermont?
Someone once said that somewhere.
Someone.
Somebody, yeah.
Well, Nomi's sleeping just like the cutest little angel.
Like an angel?
Wow. I gave her a little haircut yesterday. She was okay about it. I gave her a bath afterwards. And now she's just like the sweetest, cutest thing that ever did exist.
Does she tremble in the bath?
She does.
Do you think that any part of her enjoys the warm water?
Maybe. She did eventually sit down. She's mainly afraid of like her head going under. So she like.
I see a lot of dogs who really like to be kind of in a bucket as opposed to like in the bathtub. Because I think it's more quiet, you know.
Well, they love, in general, being, like, contained.
Yeah. So maybe try a bucket.
That's interesting. Hmm. Yeah, I also think, like, a lower... Because essentially what she tries to do is stick her chin, like, over the...
Yeah, of course. You have to... Bath. Their head needs to be free.
Yeah, she's afraid of... Yeah. So in that way, she doesn't want to be contained, but...
Low-profile bucket is the way to go.
Yeah, actually, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Give her a bath outside.
She's going to start loving bath time. Well, I think you should just put the bucket in the tub, you know?
Well, yeah, that's another option.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for her to start being able to go outside. Because our yard is very muddy right now, which is
You should have seen all of us in New York City yesterday. Everyone was out there smizing, you know what I mean? They were like,
I do.
Spring is here. I don't have a winter coat on.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
It's the best. It's the best.
Yeah, those like first 5 days when people are wearing like t-shirts. Everyone's like,
when it's like 50 degrees and people are wearing like short shorts.
Short shorts. It's nice.
Thinking it's hot out.
Pretending, oh my god. Okay, was there one other movie you needed to talk about, or was that it?
Priscilla, Napoleon, the Creator, Damsel, Poor Things.
You did it. And Wonka.
Oh, and you're watching this Kate Winslet show.
I watched those two episodes, but I did take a big sleep somewhere in the middle of it.
I fell asleep fully like 5 minutes into the second episode.
I think she's good.
Curious about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's funny, but I do think it's a comedy.
It's actually too scary to be funny, but
I was sort of offended about midway through the first episode.
Oh.
By like the casual comedy slant of like a dictator show right now.
Well, yes. And to see like, there's a scene in the second episode where Martha Plimpton is basically like in a situation of abduction, and it's brief, but it is like a little too terrifying to be funny at all. This Mattia Schoenaerts character is truly so scary. So it is,
it's awkward.
Even though the like music indicates that you're watching a comedy, there's something incredibly unfunny about the whole thing.
I think there's not enough like tonal clarity.
I like this sort of maid character who has the child, and she's in a perpetual state of fear because like his medicine is only available because like he gets to be the surrogate son to this insane person. It's not great.
I think it's like not, I mean, I'm gonna keep watching. I'm like curious about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not balanced out. Like, these potatoes, I'm like, okay. Like, I get it. Yeah. She's, like, crazy.
She is crazy.
So, but, like, it's a little, it's extra in these ways that I'm like, but that's just more of it doesn't make it funny. Like, seeing another bucket of potatoes isn't funny.
What? Wait, I know there were buckets of potatoes, but what were they for?
So I think my reading steaming from the first episode to the second is that, like, she is convinced by the guy that, like, it's not humidity like it is in the first episode. It's that you need these, like, steaming potatoes.
Right.
And I'm like, are you serious?
I mean, you're not. You're
comedy. But I'm like, that's not really funny.
That's what I thought Jack might appreciate, the hypochondriacal kind of
situation. Well, I absolutely did laugh thinking of, because Jack and I just had a conversation about a very similar kind of thing. So I was like, this is hilarious to me in this moment. But yeah, Kate Winslet is wonderful.
She's wonderful. She's
doing her best to make this work.
One of our great. Okay, so that's the regime. That's the regime.
So many things. So many, so much medias.
I had a fun episode today. Thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome.
And we can be done. And I hope everyone's enjoyed this week.
If you have a spare room in your apartment, let me know.
Wow. Stuart does, you know.
Oh, right. Okay. Is there a bed in there? Doesn't need to be.
I think there's a fold-out couch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Stuart. Sorry if I'm selling out your spare room, but, you know.
Well, that's why it's there, for me.
We are family, you know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. We loves you.
We loves you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.